Well, I've already heard you say a couple of times today you're looking for the coming of the Lord. I've asked Brother Wilson Hember if he would minister for us tonight, and I told the brothers this morning I'd like to lead worship tonight because I've got a list of songs, and I was making this list in the back when Johnny sang that one he just sang, you know, This Old World Will Never Hold Me. But here's an old song that I don't know how many of you have ever sung it, but I want to read you the words this morning because tonight, the Lord willing, I want to teach you this song. The title of it is Jesus is Coming Soon. But it goes like this. Troublesome times are here, filling men's hearts with fear. Freedom we all hold dear now is at stake. But humbling your hearts to God saves from the chastening rod. Seek the way pilgrims trod, Christians awake. Jesus is coming soon, morning or night or noon. Now, I know there's people says that's not message. As Brother Bram talked about between 6 and 9 in the morning, but remember he said to be universal too. Many will meet their doom. And I'm going to say this. About the time that Brother Branham made that statement in the sermon on the rapture in Yuma, and people in the message stopped singing that song, from that moment to this one, I can tell you now, they lost their enthusiasm for the coming of the Lord. Because they don't realize it, but they went to seed so much on that that between 6 and 9 they may be looking for it, but the rest of the day they don't care. And I'm old enough and experienced that to see that happen. Many will meet their doom. Trumpets will sound. All of the dead shall rise. Amen. Righteous shall meet in the skies, going where no one dies, heavenward bound.
Amen.
That all of them? Love of so many cold, losing their home of gold. This is God's word is told. This in God's word is told. Evils abound. When all is come to pass, nearing the end at last, it will come very fast.
Yes.
Trumpets will sound. Jesus is coming soon, morning or night or noon. Many will meet their doom. Trumpets will sound. All of the dead shall rise. Righteous meet in the sky, going where no one dies. Heavenward bound. How many of you ever heard that song?
Amen.
Good. Then I won't have to teach it to many, huh? You can help me sing it tonight. The Lord willing, let's come to worship Him tonight. But we're here this morning. Now, I've been teaching on some subjects of clarification. And when I got on to this one, coming of the Lord, I found so much confusion about it that I've had to break it down into different categories. And now I've been on it for about 6 weeks. And nobody has written me a letter about it yet, but I have heard some rumors that some people says, I'll sure be glad when Brother Green gets through with that series. Why? You're not looking for him to come? If I meet you and I ask you what you're looking for, you should be able to say the coming of the Lord. Because there's really nothing else more important in your life than that. I can show you how many tapes, one particular we played here at the end of it, that showed Brother Branham to the people in Prescott waiting for the coming of the Lord, the people in Flagstaff waiting for the coming of the Lord, people in Jeffersonville waiting for the coming of the Lord. And everybody Brother Branham mentioned in that paragraph, about 10 or 15 of them, was waiting for the coming of the Lord. So we have to be waiting for the coming of the Lord. And he says, there's not one thing that I know of that's got to happen until that occurs. So what else are you looking for? There is nothing else. And if you lose your enthusiasm for the coming of the Lord, you're in a backslid condition. But when some want to say something about it, well, my memory came back to, or went back to where Brother Brown said he had Job on the ash heap one time for six months. And I'll read you a quote about that this morning, you know, because finally Job came to a conclusion. Though the skin worms eat this body, destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God. And, you know, we say that at funerals and people rejoice and it gives us hope. But that's what our subject's about today, is the resurrection. Last Sunday we talked about the resurrection, but we're continuing that this morning because I've I think I can show you from the scriptures and Brother Branham's quotes that there'll be an earthquake at the time of the resurrection.
Amen.
And I think that the more that we know about what Brother Branham said about something, or the more we know what the scripture says, the more enthused we'll stay about these events. And when you ask me about the signs of the coming of the Lord, well, I can give you the fig tree, Israel's home. I can give you the signs of the times of nation against nation and famines and wars and everything else. But, you know, we've had so many of that, but there is one sign that accompanies the resurrection that everybody will know about, and that is a resurrection.
That's right. Amen.
And I want to show you that from the scriptures and from Brother Branham's teaching this morning. Now, in the scriptures, it compares earthquakes to birth pains. And when you stop and think about the time when a little one's going to be born, well, when those birth pains start, when they begin, just a little twinge of them to start off with, and I quizzed my wife a little bit this morning because I've never had a birth pain. But I asked her about it, and she more or less wanted to forget them. But I asked her if they, I know they become closer together, because I witnessed that. But I couldn't tell about the frequency of them. I'm a witness. But the intensity of them, that's what I quizzed her about. And, you know, it's amazing about childbirth. When you're in the birth pains, it's a very miserable thing. I'm told it's one of the most horrible pains that a person can have. But, you know, as soon as that birth takes place, either the joy or something erases that. I even, in my own thinking, thought about other creatures on earth. Do they suffer the same pain? But it's the scripture that compares the earthquakes that's happening to this world to a woman in travail. So much so that the scripture says that the entire world, all of nature, is moaning and groaning.
Amen.
For the manifestation of the sons of God.
Right.
When those birth pains start, there is an assurance that there's an event going to take place.
Right.
And there's usually an end to it. There's a finish. There comes a time when the birth pains produce the results that they're sent for. And once they're started, they usually don't stop.
Amen.
They continue on. They grow closer together in frequency and more intense. Now, as they grow and become frequent and more severe or stronger, they become more difficult to ignore.
Yeah.
You know, when they first start, you may say, oh, that's just a little pain. But I tell you, when it gets down to the time of delivery, the time of the full manifestation,
Right. They're
difficult to ignore. And I want you to know that I think it's almost impossible for us to ignore the birth pains that this world is going through right now.
Amen. Yes, sir.
All the entire world is groaning and travailing for the manifestation of the sons of God. Now, I want to say, I want to remind you again that I'm talking to you about the earthquakes. That's a sign of the coming of the Lord. And when I read all the quotes and every scripture in the Bible for the last 10 days about what the Bible says about earthquakes, there's many different subjects about it. If you take Brother Brown's quotes, there's the Los Angeles earthquake. He talks about California. He talks about the Alaskan earthquake. And something I found interesting, you know, the Alaskan earthquake happened on Good Friday, and Brother Branham compares it to the earthquake that happened on Good Friday at the crucifixion.
Amen.
And Brother Branham said that there's a connection there between those two. He talks about the West Coast, that this is a judgment earthquake. You go way back in Brother Branham's ministry to the early 50s, and Brother Branham talks about the ocean weeping its way into the desert. At the end of it, he's talking about the West Coast sliding into the Pacific Ocean. He mentioned several times about the Mount of Olives that's going to have an earthquake. Brother Branham teaches us about the earthquake that he talked about in India, where the animals gathered in the middle of the field and or got away from the walls and the buildings and leaned against each other. He talks about the importance at this time that we, when we recognize these signs, that we lean on each other.
Yeah.
We support each other with this. He talked about the birds, how they fly into their freedom and get away from everything. But then when it's over, they go back to their place of secure to their nest. Brother Branham in his trips to Africa, he talks about earthquakes. But I made the interesting discovery, to me at least, that the time that he mentioned earthquakes more than any other time in any subject or on any of these brackets that I've given you now, it was during the sixth seal.
Yes. Amen.
There's 11 different specific quotes that Brother Branham refers to that happens during that time of judgment, that time of tribulation. And in case I forget to say it, Brother Branham said the bride's done gone.
Amen. Yes. That's all.
Now, all these statements that Brother Branham made about earthquakes, I want you to know that not many people paid attention to them. Even when Brother Branham preached the sixth seal, I never heard a discussion, but I wasn't following the message when Brother Branham preached the seals, but And when people started introducing this message to me or telling me about it and I began to listen, nobody ever referred me to anything Brother Branham said about the earthquakes. But as soon as Brother Branham, in April of 64 or 65, mentioned the earthquake of California in a prophecy, I want you to know that became the hottest topic in the message. Everybody was wondering what the people who lived in California were wondering what they were going to do, and all the rest of us wondering what they were going to do. And a lot of you people that are sitting here on the sound of my voice today, you know that message, choosing a bride, motivated you to change your life. Many of you uprooted your families. You moved your children out of school. You sold out. You left your jobs. You come to Arizona, where at that time the economy was much worse than it is even right now. Not only in Los Angeles and San Francisco, but all the way up the East Coast, all the way to Vancouver. People were wondering. I can't go anywhere nowadays from San Diego all the way up to Vancouver, up the British Columbia coast, that people don't ask me, well, did Brother Branham say this? Should we do this? Should we do that? Because it got people's attention.
Right.
Now, an earthquake is one of the most devastating calamities or catastrophes that a person can experience. You're there, and the only one I've ever really experienced was in San Diego the week after Brother Branham preached the message Transformed in Phoenix. If you recall, it was during that morning service that I got the phone call from Los Angeles from Richard Shakarian that his aunt Florence had died. And when I went and told Brother Branham and Brother Carl Williams about it, Brother Branham sent me back to the telephone to find out what time of the day she passed away. Because remember, Brother Branham had said that Florence would pass away between 2 and 3 o'clock in the morning. And when I go back and find out about it, it's 2:45, and I tell Brother Branham mentions it on the tape. But I go over there the next day. That's the first time I ever went to Brother Harold Morconda's house. I met Sister Betty that day. When Harold picked me up at the airport, we went to their lovely home there in Los Angeles area. And when I was there, I visited the May Company because I wanted to see where this was that Brother Branham had been for these meetings. And people then were wondering, well, what should we do? What shall we do? What must we do? Because an earthquake is something we can tell about, but that night, I went to San Diego before I went to their house, but that night in the motel, I'm sitting there, I'm asleep, and my bed dances across the floor. That's the only time I've ever felt an earthquake, but I want you to know that is a strange, weird feeling. Because, you know, you're sitting here and you think, man, if you're standing on solid ground, it's one thing, but when that ground starts waving like an ocean, and nothing is stable then, and when an earthquake comes and it's so devastating, you take a hurricane or a tornado or something, it tears the building down, but an earthquake breaks the utility lines, the bridges, the highways, the emergency people can't get to you. Buildings fall, they collapse. And when you look in the scriptures and you look in history, earthquakes have been one of the most devastating things that's ever hit the human race.
Amen.
Brother Branham talks about the one going to happen in Los Angeles. It'll be worse than Pompeii.
Yes.
And that's always been one of the worst catastrophes the world known, because it just disappeared.
Yeah.
It went away. And when you realize the size of this globe we stand on, we think, well, this is solid ground. But it goes to show you that there come a time when everything you're going to be shook down, you're going to be shaken down.
Yes.
And those are signs. It's like the world groaning and travailing. And Brother Branham says, I want everybody to understand that these earthquakes are for a sign.
Amen.
And when he says that, then we, an earthquake is something we not only can hear about, but we can actually feel it. If we're there where it is, we can see it. So let's look at something in the scriptures and see, first of all, what the Bible says about these earthquakes. We go to Matthew 24, four verses, 4-8. And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass. But the end is not yet. Well, we've heard about wars. How many can you name off in your lifetime? For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in divers places. Not just one place, divers places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. And when you look that up in the scriptures and the languages of the world, that beginning of sorrows, that's a time of birth. That the world is like a woman in travail. Let's go now to Mark chapter 13, verse 8. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be earthquakes in divers places, and there shall be famines and troubles. These are the beginning of sorrows.
Right.
How many of you believe now it's the beginning of sorrows?
Amen.
We've got it, two witnesses of it. Then Mark, the next one is Luke 21. Then, verse 10 and 11. Then said he unto them, nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And great earthquakes shall be in divers places, and famines and pestilence and fearful sights. And great signs shall there be from heaven.
Amen.
Now, who said this? The one that created all.
Yeah.
The one that knows the end from the beginning. This was as much in his plan as his crucifixion was.
Yeah.
When God created this earth, this sphere we live on, he put these Teutonic plates, which we've now found out about, and how they move and slide past each other, and how they've changed the continents and geography and geology all over the world.
Amen.
There's big ones, there's little ones, but there's thousands of them happen every day. Several years ago, a man named Richter, he figured out a way to measure these things. And really, when you think about the energy that's released in an earthquake. But Brother Branham knew enough about them, and he studied them enough that once in Oakland, California, when he was in a barber shop and He began to see things sway around and so forth, and the people ran outside. He asked himself the question, is this the last one? There's going to come a last one.
Yes, sir.
There's going to be one greater than any that's ever been before, known to man, or even since there was a world, since there was a nation.
Amen.
One never known. And when Brother Branham made the one on choosing a bride and talked about it, I want you to know it's going to be probably the worst catastrophe the world has ever experienced. You know, the prophet Jeremiah talks about the world wobbling like a drunk man staggers. Well, you know, when you think about this world moving like this, Brother Branham refers to it sometimes. Back in Noah's day, the world set up straight, the earth did. But he said they either had atomic weapons or atomic explosion power, or there was an earthquake that made it tilt. And it tilted away from the sun. And that gave us the seasons. And it caused the atmosphere to change. And that's what brought the flood. Because up until then, there had been no rain.
Right.
But it even opened the fountains of the deep. And water that was in the deep came out. And it contributed to the flood. Now, when we read in the prophecies, and it doesn't give us all the details of it, of the geology, but we know that earthquakes play a part. And if this world is groaning and travailing for a new heaven and a new earth and for the manifestation and the adoption of the sons of God, earthquake is one sign that we'll not be able to overlook.
Amen.
Maybe we'll be able to overlook a war or a famine or a pestilence or a flood or a catastrophe or a tornado or something. But when this earthquake happens, And the way Brother Branham described it, a piece of land 40 miles wide, 1,500 miles long, breaks off and slides off into the Pacific Ocean. Well, when you do that, if you've ever played in a bathtub as a child, you know you can create a tidal wave just by moving back and forth in the tub. We hear about earthquakes now, like in Indonesia, that a few years ago, there was one that broke off there on the island of Indonesia, and it created a tsunami that went thousands of miles away and killed hundreds of people because it was a wave. Well, you take a piece of land like California or the West Coast, whatever the dimension is, it was just the city of Los Angeles, and let it slide off into the Pacific Ocean and displace itself in water,
yes.
It puts the world out of cater, as Brother Branham would call it, out of balance. Now, here's what we have done as human beings. We've dammed up a river. We've created Lake Powell. We've dammed it up, and we've got the one over there at Hoover Dam. And where this weight of all this water used to be distributed over many thousands of square miles, we've accumulated in these dams, and up here above Phoenix, there's seven of them. And it is through the time that those dams have been built, it has added to the equilibrium or the balance of those plates on the earth. And, you know, we talk about the straw that broke the camel's back. Someday there's going to be the drop of water that accumulates in one of those reservoirs that's going to tip the balance, and it's contributing to it, and this is something that God knew the geology of from the beginning.
Yes. Amen.
But it's going to be such a catastrophe that when that does happen, this whole world is going to rock and stagger. The oceans can weep their way into the desert, and if you own property over in Avery Valley, you'll have beachfront property. Brother Branham said it would go all the way into the state of Kentucky.
Yes, sir. Amen.
When the Alaskan earthquake happened, there were people fishing on a little bayou down in Louisiana, and it affected the ocean all the way around the continent there until those brothers' boat sat down on the bottom, and then the water come back in. If you look at the Mississippi River Valley on a topographical map, you go all the way up to the state of Kentucky, and it's only 2 feet above sea level. New Orleans is below sea level.
Amen.
We saw what Katrina did to it.
Right.
But you let a tidal wave like this go in there, and it will go right up that river basin all the way to the state of Kentucky. And I want you to know, you don't outrun a flood. You just need a boat that's sufficient to get in and get out of it and get above it. That's one of the traditions of the Navajo Indians. You go up among the Navajo Indians and they've got a book of Genesis of their own. And this comes back to my mind because Chairman Peter McDonald, who's one of the code talkers during World War II for the Navajo language. They had about 400 of them that spoke Navajo, and they used them in the Pacific Ocean for the codes which the Japanese couldn't break. I happened to have had the privilege to meet Chairman McDonald years ago. Brother Jim Roth and I went up to, and Dr. Harrison went to Winslow and picked him up in a twin-engine airplane, brought him to Tucson, had the opportunity to spend the day with him. And he gave me a book called The Genesis of the Navajo. And in there, I was amazed to find out that they believe the story of the creation.
Yeah.
A lot like we do. And they have first man and first woman. They have a story of the flood.
Yep.
But their prophet, instead of telling them to build a boat, they had prophets that told them to stack up the rocks. And that's where the tradition of the Navajos comes from, of those formations that got up there in Monument Valley. Others said, that won't work. Some said, well, go up on the mountaintop. And he said, well, the water will get up there. Well, plant a tree. And climb the tree. The Indian said, that won't work either. But another man said, well, what is it that's always above the water? Look at any body of water you want to. And it's the water reed. It grows above the water. So their story is not an ark, but the water reed. And they have white world and blue world, before the rain and after the rain. They even have first man, first woman, and they had an illicit affair, she did, and the son of turquoise is our Cain.
Yeah.
So this story of the flood is all over the world. You find it in China. Their language is a pictorial language. They draw a picture. And the word for ship for 4,000 years in the Chinese language has been this: 8 people in a boat. Well, that's their word for ship. But that's the story of Noah and the ark.
Amen.
Whereby 8 souls were saved.
Yes.
Now, these are the cultures of the world. But I'll tell you this. Every culture of the world, or no culture in the world, has an answer to an earthquake. But that's one of the signs that the Scriptures gives us. That when you see these things begin to happen. One says, look up, your redemption draweth nigh. Brother Branham said, the Bible says, it's the beginning of the days of sorrow.
Yes.
But at what age or what time has there ever been a prophecy like the one that God gave Brother Branham in choosing a bride?
Right.
How long has it been since you actually read the words of that? Chris, can you put that on there for me? I forget what number of quote it is. Not the sixth seal, it's the choosing of a bride. I moved on way on down there on you, Chris. I should not jump around. Choosing a bride, April the 29th, 1965, page 35, paragraph 3. That solemn warning, we don't know what time, and you know what time, that this city one day is going to be lying out there in the bottom of this ocean.
Yes.
And now this, Brother Branham is saying that, but this turns into a prophecy now. O Capernaum, said Jesus, thou who hast exalted into heaven will be brought down into hell. For if the mighty works had been done in Sodom and Gomorrah, it have been standing till this day. And Sodom and Gomorrah lays at the bottom of the Dead Sea. And Capernaum's in the bottom of the sea. Now, Brother Branham said Dead Sea, but it's the Galilee. Sea of Galilee. Thou city who claims to be the city of the angels, who exalted yourself into heaven and sent all the dirty, filthy things of fashions and things, till even the foreign countries come here to pick up our filth and send it away, with your fine churches and steeples and so forth, the way you do. Remember, one day you'll be laying in the bottom of this sea. Your great honeycomb under you right now, the wrath of God is belching right beneath you. How much longer he'll hold this sandbar hanging over that? When that ocean out yonder, a mile deep, will slide in there plumb back to the Salton Sea.
Amen.
It'll be worse than the last day of Pompeii. Repent, Los Angeles. Repent, the rest of you, and turn to God. The hour of his wrath is upon the earth. Flee while there's time to flee and come into Christ. Now, when Brother Branham made that prophecy, just about everybody who followed his message sat up and paid attention, because that was the destruction of a city of 7 million people. Then, as Brother Branham, in his ministry the last year of his life, he answered questions about it, and that's where the thing came up about how it would be and how extensive it would be and where it would go, because everybody always seems to want to know the details. But he would not give the time. In fact, Brother Branham, about 6 times in his message, says that if I were to stand up here and tell you that there's going to be an earthquake on such and such a day, he said you could know that was false. You believe he said that?
Amen.
I don't have the time to give you all the quotes, but if you really love the message, you'll look them up yourself.
Amen.
You've got concordances and so forth and computers that'll pull them up like that. But there's troublesome times upon us.
Yes.
And one of these signs, I've often said the greatest sign that there's a God is that of the Jew. But the greatest sign that the Lord is coming, the rapture, the bride's going to leave this earth, is the earthquake. Brother Branham mentions it more than any other sign. And it's one that's like a labor pain. This world groaning and travailing, and you're not going to escape it. Now, I started this off this morning by talking to you about some people feel that we've said too much about it, about the coming of the Lord. And I need to correct something that I misspoke on last Sunday morning. At the end of it, I mentioned Brother Branham told me 40 days. But Brother Branham said these words to me, Brother Green, the dead in Christ will rise and be with us a minimum of 30 days.
Amen.
He said Jesus is here 40 days. But 2 other times, now when I first said that back in 66, that Brother Branham said it to me, there's a lot of people question it. Well, how do we know Brother Branham said it? Well, I said, I can't prove it to you. But Brother Billy Paul told me that his dad told him the same thing. And then as we listened to the tapes, we found that when we found the film, Brother Branham says a month or so.
Right.
The dead in Christ rise and be with us a month or so. And then on letting off the pressure in Green Lake, Wisconsin, he says 30 days or so. About 30 days. And so I can see in the scriptures that Jesus rose from the dead and was here on earth for 40 days. And that's the reason that I could believe when Brother Branham told me personally and privately that I believed it and I said it. I didn't preach it a lot when I found out people didn't want to receive it. But after I found out Brother Branham said it, you know, this goes back not to 65, but to 62 and all the way back to 57. Now, I always find this interesting that you'll find Brother Branham will make some statements, And he don't make a big point out of it, but if you'll follow the timeline on it, this is something Brother Branham just sort of accepted as a given. It was in his thought pattern. When he read the Bible, he'd say, the Bible said so. You can find this in the scriptures. And maybe when I read you some of these quotes this morning, I'll point those out to you and you can see that. You take, for example, what I've said about the world being in turmoil and this being troublesome times. Well, Brother Branham refers that to Isaiah. Let me see if I can separate those quotes to you. here where Brother Brent says it about Isaiah, because we've got something to read from Isaiah. In the sixth seal, page 436, Chris, I don't think you put a number on that one. It's the last two pages I gave you. We're that page 436. I need 436, Chris. I'm gonna have to get with you earlier every day, son, so that I can do it right. There's no number written on this, Chris. Oh, I'm sorry. We need to get the same code, don't we? It's number 6. 6, 7, and 8. Well, on page 436 in the seal book, it says, Isaiah is a complete Bible within itself.
Yes, amen.
You've heard Brother Brown say that. Amen. Then on page 437, in the fourth paragraph on the page, what he said, truly, I just want to say this. The whole world, as Isaiah says, as a woman travaileth. All creation is travailing. All this groaning and travailing about, like a woman that is to be a mother, the earth itself, nature. Well, this. Let's take our own city. When beer joints and the filth and scum, like any other city. Well, I believe God would be better off looking at it the way He had it 1,000 years ago. The point I'm trying to make here is that. That Brother Branham said that Isaiah said that the whole world is in travail.
Right.
I don't have to prove that to you. On page 439, the last page, it says, look at it now, but the word over, the thing is polluted, and the world, the nature, God have mercy. The whole world is in its birth pains.
Yes.
Trying to establish the fact that if the whole, Brother Branham said, Isaiah is a complete Bible. Isaiah prophesied this. He talked about starting with creation and ending with judgment, and the resurrection of the dead in chapter 29 and 30, and that's the next thing we get to. But I want you to see that Brother Branham took Isaiah, because this, to me, outside of the book of Job, is the first time in the scriptures that it's mentioned that there'd be an earthquake at the time of the resurrection. I mentioned at the beginning of this that Brother Branham said that Job said, though the skin worms destroy this my body, yet in my flesh shall I see God. What I'm discovering is that what Brother Branham said about 80% of the teachings of the Lord were about His return.
Yeah.
Almost every parable is a parable about the return of the Lord. The 10 virgins, of even the one of the Good Samaritan. I didn't name it the other day, but some of you folks are gracious enough that when you found where Brother Branham talked about it, Brother Branham talked about that Good Samaritan gave 2 pence, and Brother Branham said that was the word and the spirit that was to keep that man, take care of him until he come back after him.
Amen.
Another statement I found, Brother Branham said that man that was on that journey was backsliding. Because he was going from Jerusalem down to Jericho. Going from a high place to a lower place. And this misfortune happened to him so that the Good Samaritan could come along and rescue him and say, you're headed in the wrong direction.
Yes.
And I'm going to take care of you. Folks, I don't know, but that almost made me shout.
Yes. Amen.
You know, we get cold and indifferent. And I think we get bogged down and tangled up. We get so concerned about some of the things of the world, or our job, or our ambition, our desires, our education, or what's happening in a church, or well, this person, we get offended too easy. We let one little thing be of an offense to us, and well, we don't go to church, or we don't feel like we have to. We're so easily distracted.
Amen.
The truth is we are backsliding.
Yes.
But from the lesson of the Good Samaritan, I think that there's a shepherd that comes along and picks you up and says,
Amen.
Look, you don't need to be backsliding, going that way, but stop that. And here, we'll help you get along your way.
Yes.
And what is that? You worship in spirit and in truth.
Yes.
I know a lot of people that they've got the truth, but they got the wrong spirit with it.
True.
And the truth is, Brother Bram said, you'd rather have the right spirit with the wrong doctrine
Amen.
Than the right doctrine with the wrong spirit.
Right.
So you worship Him in spirit and in truth. And even this parable of the Good Samaritan is a lesson on be ready for the Lord to come.
Yes.
The story of Eliezer going after Isaac's wife. Brother Bram says that's a picture of the Lord coming after His bride.
Yes.
Sends the Holy Spirit and the prophet to find us and call us out. God knew where we were. We just had to be willing to say, whatever my Lord says, that's what I'll do. We'll make the preparation. We'll go do that.
Amen.
So if you criticize for because we preach too much on it, then you've taken out all of the parables.
Right.
You've taken out most of the Bible. Well, you've taken out 80% of the teachings of Jesus.
Right.
I think you'd get just as upset about the 20%, because really the truth is you're in a backslid condition.
Right.
And you're not anxious to hear your hearts have grown slow. You need to stop and think about what God has done for you.
Amen.
What He's promised to do. What he said He'd do.
Yes.
You need to look up. You need to recognize these signs are not just there. The world out there don't know about them, but you know them.
Amen.
When somebody talks to you about an earthquake happening here and how much more frequent they're coming and how much more powerful they're becoming, you ought to get ready to say, you know what, that's just a sign that there's soon going to be a deliverance.
Amen.
The bride's going to be taken out of here.
Amen.
You're going to leave here.
Amen.
I think I even mentioned to you that, and by the way, that's in the sixth seal. Brother Bam takes about 6 pages telling the story of the meatpacker's son from Chicago coming back after the little girl.
Amen.
At the ranch.
Yeah, right.
What is that? Coming of the Lord.
Yeah.
Here Brother Bram is talking about the judgments on the world and all the catastrophe and all the troublesome times there are. But then he comes in here, but he drops it into the bride. And I'll say, folks, this is true everywhere. Any time that there's judgment pronounced, you'll find God always gives a way of escape.
Yes.
Talks about the deception. But if it were possible, the very elect would be deceived.
Yeah.
But it's not possible.
That's right.
Whatever the catastrophe comes upon us, there's always a way of deliverance for us.
Amen.
Listen at this one on the sixth seal. That's 1A, Chris. I guess that should have been the first one I gave you. We're living in a terrific time. Now, I've been talking about troublesome times. Terrible times. You see, these things that we're in now, that we're studying right now, is after the church is done gone.
Yes.
These things are the tribulation period.
That's right.
And listen to this, folks. Stop that, Chris, because I may go over this to the end. And I think it ought to be truly settled in every believer's heart that this church never takes the tribulation period.
Amen.
This should be settled in your heart.
Amen.
You cannot put nowhere the church in the tribulation. You put the church there, but not the bride.
Right.
The bride's gone on.
Amen.
Now, folks, I don't know how these people get the seventh seal before the sixth one.
Come on. Amen. Right.
Yeah. And I'm not being negative about them because I've made up my mind. I can't change their minds. If you show them what Brother Branham said and that don't affect them, then you just have to leave them alone.
Yes. Amen. True.
But this is what Brother Branham says. The bride's gone. Well, excuse me, folks, but I'm still here. And I believe I'm bride.
Yes.
Now, if you want to put all this in a different sequence, then you put yourself out of the bride.
Yeah, right. Amen.
But I believe I'm bride.
Yes.
I believe I'm going to be at the marriage supper of the Lamb.
Yes.
I got news for you. If there's only two, I'm going to be one of them.
Amen.
Yeah.
Yes.
Do I have a right to say that? Oh, don't be selfish. That's what Brother Branham said I ought to say.
That's right.
Now, I don't want that to be that way. But if that's the way it is, you heard it.
Amen.
Come go with me.
Amen.
I believe there's room for at least one more of you.
Yes, sir.
The bride's gone on. She's not... Listen to this, folks. She's not one sin, not a thing against her.
Amen. Right.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
The grace of God has covered her over.
Yes. Amen.
The bleach has took every sin so far away.
Amen.
In the seals, Brother Branham mentions that story of the drop of ink in a tub of bleach 8 times. More than any other subject he brings up. Usually, the number one topic is the Godhead. Baptism in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. But in the seals, 8 different times, he gives the example of what happens to your sins. When you put a drop of ink in a tub of bleach. Nobody can bring them back against you. Every sin so far away, there's not even a remembrance of it. Not a thing but purity. Perfect in the presence of God.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.
It ought to make every member of the bride get out on her knees and cry out to God.
Yes.
God, I thank you for this message.
Yes, sir.
Lord, I thank you for the truth that Brother Branham gave us.
Amen.
That we don't have to live in fear or dread.
Thank you, Lord.
Yes.
I'm going to give everyone an opportunity to get on your knees right now.
Amen.
Get on your knees, and it don't matter whether I hear you or not. Tell God you are thankful. Don't stick your head in the pew. Turn around and look this way. It's easier to kneel in that pew forward. Just because the Roman Catholics and Presbyterians do it that way don't make it any difference. But let every child of God, every member of the bride, on their knees. Come on, say something. God, I thank you today for the freedom of the Holy Ghost and the blood of Jesus Christ. And our sins are under the blood. Praise God, we're free. Now folks, if you're embarrassed to do that here, try it at home. Proclaim your victory. Declare unto God, you're free. You've been cleansed by the blood of the Lamb. You're perfect. You're perfect. Nothing but purity. Oh, but Brother Green, what are you going to do? Believe God's Word? Yes. It's more important to believe what God's Word says you are than what you know you are. Than what you think you know you are. What does God's Word say to us today? You've been cleansed from all iniquity. The blood of Jesus Christ makes you free.
Hallelujah.
If you can't comprehend that by revelation, then just go home and put a drop of ink in a glass of bleach and see what happens to it. victory. Lord, grant these people victory, deliverance. Set them free from condemnation, from any accusations that the enemy would give or anybody else would give. Who can lay any charge against one of God's elect? If He said you're free, don't live in bondage. If you're a child of God, cry out to God. Thank Him for deliverance. How close are we? How close are we to this? Come, Lord Jesus. Is it going to take an earthquake to make us realize the reality of the resurrection of the dead in Christ? How long have you got? How long do you want? What are you waiting on? If I were to ask you now, you're ready for the coming of the Lord, could you say, yes, by God's grace, I'm ready. I've been set free. I've been cleansed by the blood. It's not my righteousness, it's His. I'm standing on His promise. He's the one that said He'd come back after me. He's the one that said He'd give me the Holy Ghost to lead, guide, direct me, teach me.
Amen.
As you sung this morning, surrender it all to Him. Give up. Lead on, Lord Jesus. Lead on. Are you uncomfortable on your knees? You don't have to shout it. Just say, thank you, Lord. Come on, thank you, Lord. Thanks be unto God for deliverance, for the cleansing from all sin, for the forgiveness, for the gift of the Holy Ghost, for the word of the Lord. God, grant to us spirit to worship you. Thank you for the truth. The enemy is a liar. He can't tell the truth. And if you listen to the carnal flesh, remember, it's an enmity against God. Have thine own way, Lord. Lord, have your way. Thank you, Lord. Speak to us, Lord. Come into our heart and our life. Lord, sweep over our souls. Let your word and your Holy Spirit anoint us, O God. Let this promise, this challenge that Brother Branham says every one of us are to be on our knees crying out to God. Not begging Him, but thanking Him. We're so carnal. Jesus is coming soon. He's given us the power of the Holy Ghost in our life. You know what that is? That's the seal of our redemption. He didn't just say, come to me, repent, be baptized. I'll give you the Holy Ghost. It's supposed to teach you what was, what is, what will be. It'll keep you, it'll guide you, it'll direct you. It's a seal. Satan can't touch you. Don't doubt God's word. Read what this word says. Look at all the people around Job. You did this, you did that, you did this. And he said, look, though God slay me, yet I'll trust him. I will then come forth as gold. He didn't start out as gold. But we love to talk about Job now because he won. He was a victorious one. But he got the revelation that he would be in the resurrection. That's what I want every one of you to settle in your heart now. You are a part of God. You was a part of him in the beginning. You're still a part of him. You always will be a part of him. Nothing can remove you. Oh, Brother Green, you're just giving sinners comfort. No, I'm telling believers the truth. Amen. Just because somebody don't like something that I like doesn't mean I can't enjoy what I want to. God gave us this promise. This is his word to us. And just because somebody might take it and eat it the wrong way or misunderstand it, shouldn't stop the believers from rejoicing in it. Amen. Heavenly Father, I appreciate you today. You loved me when I was unlovable. When I did something wrong, you helped me. You convicted me. You pointed me in the right direction. If I fail now, you'll still help me. But I believe I'm a predestinated son of God. I will be at the marriage supper of the Lamb. I will be changed. I will be translated. When the earth begins to shake, Lord, we'll be gone. We'll not fear the tribulation or the trials or the fiery test. We promise to be out of here. We don't want to stay with this world, and it could never hold us anyway. Amen. Help us to serve you in spirit and in truth. Let's stand. Maybe we sing the song right now. Heavenly Father, I appreciate you. You'll understand why you should appreciate him.
Amen.
You appreciate the Lord today?
Yes.
What is it that he needed to do for you that he hadn't already promised? Did he leave anything out in your salvation? No, it's full. It's paid in full. Don't try to pay it yourself. Believe in him. We're not dismissing you this morning. We're just, Heavenly Father, we appreciate you right now. Heavenly Father, I appreciate you. Heavenly Father, Heavenly Father, and again, Heavenly Father. Let you stay standing. I got one portion of scripture and one more quote I feel like I must give you before you go this morning. It's Isaiah chapter 29, verses 4, 5, and 6. And thou shalt be brought down and shalt speak out of the ground. Now, you'd have to be a prophet to interpret this, but Brother Branham does for us. He's the one that says, Isaiah says this. And this is where he got it from, Isaiah. How is one going to be brought down? They're going to die. But you'll speak out of the ground. And thy speech shall be low out of the dust.
Yes.
And thy voice shall be as of one that hath a familiar spirit.
Yes.
Yeah, I know Janice's voice. I know my mom and dad's voice. And when I hear it,
yes,
I'm going to recognize it.
Amen.
Why? Because I'm familiar with it.
Amen. Yes.
Out of the ground, and thy speech shall whisper out of the dust. Moreover, the multitude of thy strangers shall be like small dust, and the multitude of the terrible ones shall be as chaff that passes away.
Yes.
Yea, it shall be as an instant suddenly, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye.
Amen.
As the lightning flashes from the east to the west.
Yes. Amen.
See how Isaiah said it? It took a prophet to pull it out of there and show it. Hey, this is Isaiah. This is what he's saying. Thou shalt be visited of the Lord of hosts with thunder and with earthquake and great noise.
Amen.
With storm and tempest and the flame of devouring fire.
Yes. Amen.
Brother Branham interpreted that, this devouring fire. Remember, as a sword of flame comes out of his mouth. The Word of God. Revelations 19.
Yes. Amen.
Now, how many of you know that at the time of the crucifixion and when Jesus gave up the ghost, the sun hid its face, the stars didn't shine, the moon didn't even shine. Brother Branham said it because it was ashamed of what was happening on this earth. What happened? There was an earthquake. So much so that a centurion stood over and looked and said, truly, this was the Son of God.
Amen.
What happened in the temple? A curtain 6 inches thick, made out of skin, strung across the bar, that could slide back and forth. The building shook so violently that it split down the middle. What was that curtain representing? It kept the public from seeing the holiest of holies. But when he died on Calvary, anybody could approach the holiest of holies. But what did the priests, the denominational people do? They sewed it back up together. Bring them back under their control.
Yeah.
And I'd say today that anybody who tries to keep anybody from the Word of God for any reason, copyright, franchise,
Amen.
We're the only ones got it, you don't have it, that is a denominational
Amen.
Mark of the beast yeah. attitude.
Amen.
Look, this gospel is free.
Amen.
You have as much right to every word of God as anybody else has. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses you all from your sins. Now, the question. When Jesus rose, Matthew 27 tells us that some of the Old Testament saints came out and showed themselves. This earthquake preceded, accompanied that resurrection.
Yes. Amen.
Whenever Jesus stood and called Lazarus from the dead, what happened? A thunder. That's what some people said, it thundered.
Yes.
Now, for those reasons, I have always believed that when those which are asleep in Christ will rise from the dead, there be noise and thunders and lightnings and earthquake.
Yes.
Now, that didn't thrill you. Maybe Brother Branham can. Under the sixth seal, page 445, and Chris, I think you got this as number 10. I wish I could read that fast. The sixth seal, it's 1963, March the 23rd. It's the tape, the sixth seal. Is that paragraph 391? Is that what that means?
Yes.
Then, Father, pour down the Holy Spirit of oil upon them, that they might be placed into the service of our Lord God.
Amen.
That they might be workers in this last evil day. For we realize we have just a short time, and the church might go at any time.
Amen.
The Lamb might at any time leave the sanctuary up there, or the throne of sacrifice, come forth from the throne of God where the sacrifice laid, and then it's over.
Yes.
There's no more hopes for the world. She's finished. Then she goes into frustrations of great spasms of earthquakes and great shakings like it was at the resurrection. And as Christ rose from the grave, when the saints rise, there'll be something else happen. The same thing will take place. So I believe that when the dead in Christ rise, there's going to be an earthquake. And I think I can believe, because of what I hear Brother Bram say in other places, that it'll be the last earthquake. One such as never been before. I believe I can put it as the Los Angeles earthquake, as we've become to label it. And at that time, the world is going to be in such chaotic condition that when this bride is taken, we won't be missed.
Amen.
It's going to be a secret to all except the bride. And I think we're going to know. If he's not going to let us know, then why has he told us as much as he's already told us? And last but not least, why did he tell us to watch and pray if we're not going to know anything?
Amen.
I believe the bride will know. I'm looking for his coming.
Amen.
All these signs, all these things that come along. Look up. Your redemption draws nigh.
Amen.
These are the beginning of the days of sorrow.
Yes.
But it's not a time for us to be unhappy.
No.
It's a time for us to rejoice.
Yes.
And be exceedingly glad.
Hallelujah.
For the day of redemption is here.
Amen.
Every time we see a sign, every time we hear a symbol, every time we hear a victory, we look and say, blessed be the name of the Lord.
Amen.
And gives us time to tell all that we believe is going to happen.
Amen.
There'll be some that'll make fun of you and laugh and say, oh, I've heard that. My grandma taught that. But you know what? That still doesn't stop it.
Amen.
Even the more so.
Amen.
As you see the day approaching.
Amen.
Now, what goes along with that? Not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together.
Amen.
So you think about that. Unless you're just too exhausted to come like your pastor was Wednesday night. And be prepared to bring a doctor's excuse. You know we're all slowful. Johnny had the theme this morning. Let's surrender it all.
Amen.
Lord, I give up. But I thank you, Lord, for what we see and hear and know today.
Amen.
Troublesome times are here. but he's coming soon.
Amen.
We don't have very long. Now, I want two things I want you to confess to me this morning. Number one, that as a member of the bride, you will not go through the tribulation.
Amen.
Number two, that there's going to be a resurrection and there's going to be an earthquake.
Amen.
Good.
Amen.
Good.
Amen.
Don't let it be like Paul, that Paul gave the man, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Be a believer today.
Amen.
Folks, if you'll take that in your heart and be thoroughly convinced, you'll rejoice in even times of trouble.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Because you know in whom you have believed.
Amen.
And you're persuaded that he's able to keep that, which, Lord, I commit my soul to you.
Yes.
I commit my life to you, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
And though the skin worms destroy this body,
right.
I shall rise.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
I shall rise.
Amen.
In that great triumphant morning,
amen,
we shall rise.
Amen.
Now, I stretched that two comments out a little long there, but forgive me. Okay? Lord Jesus, thank you so much, Lord, for the scriptures, for your word, for all the examples you gave us from the Old Testament, from the parables that you gave us while you was here on earth. For all the examples Brother Branham gave us. And for all the scientific proof that you've given us in this generation. But Lord, most of all, I thank you that you give us faith to believe it.
Amen.
Eyes to see, ears to hear, hearts to understand. And fellow brothers and sisters that we can fellowship with around it. And encourage one another and lift up one another's hands and say, hold on. Hold on. Don't feel condemned. You believe God this morning. Most of us felt your presence this morning sometime or another, Lord. Thank you for that. It becomes addictive. There be some, Lord, that are not believers and have not received the Holy Ghost. Let them understand that what they must do is repent and be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of sin. And you said you'd give them the Holy Ghost. And then let us deny ourselves and take up our cross and follow you. Learn of you. Draw nigh to you so you can draw nigh to us. Believe in angels. And believe they're here gathering us now. Amen. I am thine, O Lord, I've heard thy voice. I am thine, O Lord, I have heard. Hallelujah. saying this. So glad I'm yours. So glad. Time this afternoon before you all come back tonight, would you get on your knees somewhere and tell God you appreciate the deliverance He's given you.
Amen.
The way of escape He's provided for us.
Amen.
And all the promises He's given us. That we're free from sin. Free from condemnation.
Amen.
Satan has no right to us. We've been set free.
Amen.
I'm so glad Jesus set me free. If I had given you some great physical gift or something this morning, you'd all say, thank you, Brother Green, thank you. But listen, think what God has given us today. And so when we sing, Heavenly Father, I appreciate you. Understand what He's done for us.
Amen.
All things are okay. You say, Brother Green, I feel this. See, you just don't understand what He's done.
Amen.
He paid it all.
Amen.
All to Him we owe, but you know what? You can't pay Him for what He's done.
No. Amen.
That's not the way the economy works. He pays it all.
Yes.
You just need to be thankful for what He's done.
Amen.
So, Lord, I appreciate you. You know, he asked Peter one time, Peter, you love me? And Peter said, Lord, I appreciate you. Peter, you love me? Lord, I appreciate you. Then Jesus said, Peter, you appreciate me? He said, no, Lord, I love you. You understand? Heavenly Father, I appreciate you. 5 o'clock now. Heavenly Father, I appreciate you. Yes, amen. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord Jesus. I love you this morning, Lord. I've always loved you, Lord. Thank you for loving me. Hallelujah.